Let's take our Bibles and go to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. And young people, thank you so much. It is truly a blessing to have you a part of the service. At 5 o'clock this afternoon, their growth group will meet, and there'll be 30 to 40 single adults meeting. And if you are a single adult visiting with us this morning, I invite you back and be part of that group at 5 o'clock this evening. Of course, at 6 o'clock this evening, right after our evening service, we will have dinner on the grounds, and our Spanish church is fixing carne asada tacos tonight. And so what a blessing that'll be to all of those who will meet in our courtyard, courtyard connections. And so I invite all of you back at 5 o'clock for our service. Right at 6 o'clock, we'll have dinner on the grounds, and it'll be a blessing. And the White family will be back with us this evening. He'll be speaking in the Spanish church. And so really, it is a great day to be in the Lord's house. Now, this past week, I was going a completely different direction in my devotions. I was reading in the book of Acts, and I got to Acts chapter 18, and I completely changed what I was going to do this morning. And Tabitha, she was playing the piano this morning. She does such an excellent job as our church secretary. And if you've ever called in the church, you need to do that if you've never done it, just to listen to Tabitha talk to you on the phone. Good morning, Tucson Baptist Church. This is Tabitha. How may I help you? And whatever you're upset about, it goes away just like that. She's able just to calm any nerves. She is amazing. So usually she does the handout. The reason I said all that, because she does such a great work. I did the handout this morning. This morning I did the handout. As in, just this morning, not earlier in the week. So if there are any errors in the handout, it's Tabitha's fault, and I'll talk to her about proofreading later. All right. So the handout is my work this morning, early this morning, just getting ready for this morning. And it's all because the Lord changed my mind and my heart, and we went a different direction. I'd like to preach a message this morning, certainly new for me, and that is that churches empower missionaries. But before we get to that, we're going to take a story in the Word of God, which I'd love to do, and we're going to break down this story. We're going to learn more about this story, and then we'll apply some principles from the Word of God. Do you realize that for all of us, this could be true? And I want you to think about it in your own life. There have been several people in my life, other than my parents, who have profoundly shaped and molded my life. A person who profoundly shaped my life in my early years was my youth pastor. In my adolescence, I thought pastors and preachers were always gray-haired, boring, old men who just loved to repeat themselves. I'm getting into that. Not my youth pastor. My youth pastor, Jerry Hargrove, he was young, and he had an energetic way of helping me see that the Bible had personal application in my life, and he helped me see another side of ministry, and that it did not have to be dry as toast, and that ministers could have fun. And do you realize that ministers could love the Word of God and still love life? And Pastor Jerry, we called him, he empowered my ministry philosophy. Another person who profoundly shaped my life was a man that you've never heard of, but his name was Dr. Mark Minnick. And Dr. Minnick, he taught pulpit speech class when I was in Bible college, and pulpit speech was the art of constructing messages. And he taught me that the power of the message is in the text, not the Reader's Digest. Not some story that I read, but the power of the message, it comes from the text. And we're going to read that in just a few moments. And he helped me to develop a passion for the topic of preaching. And Dr. Minnick, he took my feeble talents and abilities from this poor boy from West Virginia who had very poor grammar in English, and he encouraged to use my talents and abilities to the fullest for the Lord. And he's responsible for empowering my preaching ministry. Still another person who continues to influence me is actually a member of our own church. And this Christian gentleman always has a word of encouragement. He constantly helps me hone my leadership skills and gives me a positive vision of the future. And this man empowers my vision, and I'm so thankful for Pastor Jim Howard. and how he's become not only a dear friend, but a man who's helped me even as the pastor of the church, as an assistant pastor of the church. He's helped me understand encouragement, and he's such a great encourager. So empowerment could be defined as seeing the God-given potential in someone and encouraging them to pursue it. And that takes us to our text in Acts chapter number 18, Acts chapter 18. Would you follow along as we begin reading just a short passage, verse 24 through 28? Here's what the Word of God says. And there was a certain Jew whose name was Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures. He came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Pastor Armstrong, how are you going to get a message out of that passage of Scripture? Well, let's jump into it and let's see if we can learn some things this morning. Father, I love you. Thank you again for allowing me to enter into your presence. And Father, as we right here at Tucson Baptist Church, those who are watching by live stream, that we might learn something and how that we can help empower one another. We can help empower our missionaries. We can help empower our church. Father, I pray that you'll bless this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when we empower others, we give them a brighter vision of tomorrow. Empowering simply means this. It means helping another person live out God's will. Every person seated here this morning, God has a will for your life. I am absolutely convinced of that. In fact, I'm so convinced of that, that when God is finished with his will for your life, that there's no longer any need for you to be living, and you might as well die and go to heaven. And so since you're here, you haven't died, you haven't gone on to heaven, God has a will for you. And I think that you need to discover that. Paul, he prayed a prayer of empowerment for the Ephesians in Ephesians 3 and verse 20. He reminded them, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And though there are many examples of empowering others in the Bible, I want to look at a special relationship that we just read about a young preacher and a gentle Christian couple. This could happen right here at Tucson Baptist Church. And so let's look at this story and see where you fit into the story. So the theme of this message really is Aquila and Priscilla empowered Apollos. Aquila and Priscilla empowered Apollos. Now, who in the world is Apollos? So let's look at the description of Apollos. The description of Apollos. The Bible first describes Apollos as a certain Jew. Now, like other Jewish boys of his era, he probably vigorously studied the Old Testament scriptures in what was called a synagogue. We would call it a church today. No doubt he had memorized vast portions of the Old Testament text. Apollos, the Bible says, was born at Alexandria. Now, Alexandria was a famous city in the Nile Delta in northern Egypt. And part of the fame of Alexandria stems from its great educational advancements. Going back 2,000 years ago, during the New Testament era, there was a museum, a university of philosophy that was no doubt the world's largest library at the time. And scholars tell us that before the library was destroyed by fire, it contained over 700,000 scrolls. So instead of going to the library to read a book, you would go to the library in Alexandria and you would roll out a scroll and you would read it. Alexandria also had a large Jewish community. In fact, about one-third of the population 2,000 years ago was Jewish, and they held places of prominence throughout the city. The Jews of Alexandria, they also translated the first copy of the Septuagint. That's the Greek version of the Hebrew Scriptures, which was widely used and often quoted in the New Testament. All right, Who is this Apollos? Apollos was the culmination of two mighty cultures. That was the Jews and the Greeks. He was no doubt widely read. He was very well educated. Verse 24 also says Apollos was an eloquent man. Now, eloquent means fluent. In other words, he was a wordsmith. He was a man who knew how to craft his phrases carefully. He knew how to speak just the right word in order to move people. He was a great orator. Not only was Apollos eloquent, but the Bible says he was mighty in the scriptures. Now that word mighty here, it means this: powerful, strong, capable. It has its root in the same words where we get our term dynamite. We might rightly say Apollos was a dynamic Bible teacher and preacher. He was a strong, capable preacher. Then the Bible says Apollos, he came to Ephesus. Now we know that Paul had preached in this city a year earlier, and he had left two of his good friends. Their names, Aquila and Priscilla. And they were there to help start a local church. Now, Apollos was probably a young man at this time. Perhaps he was on some type of educational tour, viewing the vast library in Alexandria. We don't know for sure, but nonetheless, he was there and he meets Aquila and Priscilla. So the second thing I see in verse 25 is the preaching of Apollos. The preaching of Apollos. The Bible says Apollos had been instructed in the way of the Lord. Now, some very competent Bible teachers understand this verse to mean that Apollos was not yet a Christian, but only knew about Jesus' baptism by John. I believe this verse means that Apollos had a very limited knowledge of the Lord Jesus. In fact, he knew some truth of Jesus very well, but not all. How do I know this? Well, had the New Testament been written at this time? Yes or no? No, it had not been written. So the New Testament had not been written. He had no New Testament. So everything he knew about this man named Jesus was from his own study of the Old Testament messianic texts, and that which he may have learned from other believers. Now, what he did know about Jesus, he shared. Look at verse 25. Verse 25 says he was fervent in spirit. This word fervent is from a Greek word. It means to boil. When applied to metals, it means to glow. When I look at this and break this down, Apollos was so passionate about what he knew about Christ. The Bible says that he was literally boiling over. Now, let me illustrate this. When my children were born, I'm so discouraged for them that they were robbed of a gender reveal. In fact, truthfully, we never even heard of a gender reveal in 1987, 89, 91, 94 when our children were born. But today, we all know what a gender reveal is. In fact, it's all over Facebook. It's all over Instagram. In fact, people will announce it. At 5 o'clock on Saturday, there's going to be a gender reveal. In other words, there's a fervency in spirit. I'm trying to demonstrate what Apollos was when we say a fervent in spirit. And then there's a Facebook reveal. I'm not advertising for Facebook. It just happens on Facebook, okay? There's a Facebook reveal. And then it's either blue or pink that shoots out of a cannon, or a balloon that goes up in the air, or whatever. I mean, it keeps getting crazier and crazier what people are trying to do. But you know why they do that? Is that they're about to boil over with excitement. They want the whole world to know what? They're having a boy. And then everybody says, I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. Bunch of liars. Oh, that's so, you're having a girl. That's so sweet. I'm so happy you're having a girl. If they said they're having a boy, you'd have been still happy. But gender reveals, everything is boiling over. This is the idea. The idea here, Apollos was so passionate what he knew about Jesus Christ. It was like a gender reveal. He was boiling over. The zeal was so great. It was red hot. The Bible says Apollos spoke and he taught diligently or accurately the things of the Lord. By the way, we could all learn a lesson from Apollos right here. In fact, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Apollos, he was rightly dividing. He was cutting straight what he knew about Jesus. But don't miss this. We all understand Apollos, he was fervent, boiling over about what he believed. Right? We understand that, right? Here's the problem. He didn't know much. He knew very little. And we know this is true because of the next phrase. The Bible says this. This is why I love our Bible. The Bible says he knew, what's that next word? He knew only the baptism of John. That's all he knew. So the baptism of John was not the same as Christian baptism. It was not the same as believer's baptism. It symbolized people washing clean in order to present themselves to the Messiah when he appeared. Apollos didn't understand that believer's baptism represents the fact that the Messiah was now alive in their hearts and their lives had been changed. I think this comment may only illustrate the lack of Apollos' knowledge, that perhaps there were many areas in his teaching that needed to be updated. And Apollos, he reminds me of a young preacher student who only had one sermon, John 3:16. And at every opportunity he was given to preach, guess what he preached on? John 3:16. He had mastered John 3:16. And of course, whenever he was offered the opportunity, he preached on John 3:16. One Sunday morning, he filled the pulpit for a pastor in a small church. And he did such a great job on his one message on John 3:16 that the congregation said, "Our pastor's not going to be back. Why don't you preach again tonight?" The only other passage of scripture that this young preacher knew about was Psalm 23. And so when the time came for him to preach on Sunday night, he read, "The Lord is my shepherd." And then he said, "Now you are not my shepherd. The governor is not my shepherd, but the Lord is my shepherd." Then he read again, "The Lord is my shepherd." And he said, "The Lord is not my banker. He is not my neighbor. He's not my shoe salesman, but he is my shepherd." And he went on for 20 minutes. The Lord is my shepherd. And then said all the things that he was not. And finally finished his message. This is Apollos. He only knew one message. And that was about the baptism of John. And he had it wrong. Look with me in verse 26. We see the empowerment of Apollos. The empowerment of Apollos. Aquila and Priscilla enter into the scene. Now they were close friends of the Apostle Paul. They were dear friends. Just like a couple in our church could be a dear friend to us. That's who Aquila and Priscilla were. They were close friends. They shared an occupation with the Apostle Paul called tent making. In other words, they were bivocational. And we learned that back in verse number 3. And we know that Aquila and Priscilla, they heard Apollos as he began to speak boldly in the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews concerning Jesus. And they heard this message. Remember, Apollos had one message, right? And it was about the baptism of John, and he didn't completely understand that. And so they quickly realized that although Apollos spoke accurately, his understanding of Jesus was limited. And they could have responded in two ways. And sadly, this happens in churches today. They could have rejected them. Aquila and Priscilla, as they listened to Apollos, they could have just rejected. They could have taken the attitude that this was a nice young man, but he certainly wasn't very knowledgeable. They could have written him off as a novice, and they could have ignored him. I'm glad that there were people who didn't take a haughty attitude about me when I first began to preach the word. May I share with you my first message? I had the opportunity as a senior in high school to go to a church called Shins Run Baptist Church in Shins Run, West Virginia. And if there's anyone here that knows where that is, I'm going to be impressed. But Shin's Run Baptist Church, they were having a youth rally, and they had invited a couple of different young men from different churches. And Pastor Jerry, my youth pastor, he says, Brent, you can do this. And so I prepared, and we drove to Shin's Run Baptist Church, and I spoke at this youth rally, and I was given 20 minutes, and 8 minutes later, I was finished. My first message, I preached everything I knew in 8 minutes. Do you realize I'm so thankful that Pastor Jerry said there's no hope for that young man? And I'm so glad he didn't reject me and say, you need to find another profession. This is what Aquila and Priscilla could have done to Apollos and said, listen, you're lost. You're in the wrong profession. You need to stop this. Or they could have, number two, they could have received him. They could have accepted his limited knowledge. They could have helped him more. In fact, that's exactly what they did. They discipled Apollos more fully in Christian truth. Notice the Bible says they took him aside. We could translate this phrase. They invited Apollos into their home. And these committed saints, just a godly couple in the church. How many dozens and dozens of godly couples do we have here at Tucson Baptist Church? That you could take Apollos or a young lady into your home and teach and disciple just like they did. I doubt this was a one-time event. It probably wasn't fellowship over a pizza after church. It's quite plausible that Apollos may have actually moved in and lived with Aquila and Priscilla for a while. May I just say, ministry is so much more than just the church sanctuary. All of you have an opportunity for ministry. I'm looking at hundreds of Aquila and Priscilla's this morning that heard Apollos and said, oh, no, we've got to help this young man. Next, this godly couple explained to him the way of God more accurately, and they filled in the blanks in his theology and his experience, and this thought tells us much of Apollos' attitude. That Apollos, well, he was an extremely intelligent, well-educated Alexandrian preacher, and he was willing to learn at the dinner table of a couple of tent makers. Think about that. Aquila and Priscilla, they made tents, and yet they helped Apollos in his faith. And being empowered by others, it begins with humility. Apollos was willing to humble himself and say, yes, I need to learn. And Aquila and Priscilla took up that challenge. And then verse 27 and 28, we see the ministry of Apollos. Evidently, the Holy Spirit led Apollos to move from Ephesus to a place called Acacia. And we know from other biblical passages that he later became one of the pastors of the church in Corinth in that region. And the brethren, that is the other believers who were forming the nucleus of a church in Ephesus, they actually, what we read is they wrote a letter of commendation to those disciples or that new church in Acacia because of the empowerment of Aquila and Priscilla. The whole church got behind Apollos and urged him to use his spiritual gifts to preach the word of God. When Apollos finally arrived in this area called Acacia, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace and with a new understanding and a knowledge of Jesus. And under the power, the control of the Holy Spirit, Apollos, the Bible says, he was a mighty tool of God. In other words, he wasn't a mighty man. He was a mighty tool of God, and we are merely servants of the Lord. We are merely tools in the hands of God, and he strengthened churches in that region. The writer of Acts, Luke, he gives us one further footnote about Apollos. He says, he mightily convinced the Jews publicly. He argued against the Jewish rabbis in a powerful way, and he answered them with truth about Jesus Christ at every point. No doubt in his ministry, many people came to know Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. So when you read this passage of Scripture next time in your devotions in Acts chapter 18, stop and realize that Aquila and Priscilla were just members in the church. A couple in the church. A couple who had a job being tent makers, but yet they saw a young man. They saw a young lady that needed some discipleship, and they took them under their wings and discipled them. I wonder, How many Aquila and Priscillas are here this morning? So let's transition then. If Aquila and Priscilla was about empowering Apollos, and that's our theme, then it's logical for me to preach this morning that you and I should empower others. You and I should empower others. First of all, we are who we are because of the empowerment of others. At the beginning of this message, I shared with you that there's been at least four different groups of people who have been very important in my life, and they've been able to help empower and to share parts of their life that has been transformed in my life. Our parents empowered and influenced most of us significantly, and I can't speak enough of the blessings that are mine after my mom and dad were saved as a young boy and being able to grow up in a Christian home. Many of us, we look to a godly spouse who encourages and supports us and lifts us up even when we are down. We have a responsibility to empower and to encourage our wives. Most of us can relate to a teacher who helped set a course in our lives. I can name many pastors and growth group and Sunday school and Bible teachers who have taught me truths of Scripture that I'll hold dear for all of eternity. And I can also think of many of my teachers in my formal education that empowered me to stretch my thinking, which challenged me to learn. And to this day, I have several men I consider to be mentors, and many of them are seated right here this morning that you have been able to be available to pray, to chat, to encourage, to empower. And just like Aquila and Priscilla, you continue to show me the way of God more accurately. I am so grateful that even at my age, I can still look to other people to learn from. Most of all, I am who I am because of the Lord Jesus. With Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, I can say this: but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. I trust that you could say that verse as a testimony for your own life. I stand before you not only by God's grace, but more than anyone else, Jesus empowers my life. And when we seek to empower others, we follow in the Savior's steps. You're an example of what Jesus has done when you empower others. Secondly, this morning, God always sees, notice this word, hidden potential in people. God always sees hidden potential in people. Have you ever noticed in Scripture how God used the most unlikely people? When Samuel came to Jesse's house to anoint one of his sons as king, the Lord said to the prophet, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I've refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. May I say, God does not look for the most talented. God does not look for the most gifted or the most likely to do anything. God looks at the heart and he sees hidden potential in the least likely people. And in your notes, I've given you a whole list of least likely people. There's Abraham and Joseph. There's Moses and Gideon, David, Daniel, Amos, Mary, Peter, Matthew, Saul, and John. All of these people were unlikely to be used, and yet God used all of them. God sees hidden potential in many of you today. Be open to him. I had the opportunity to spend a little time with a man by the name of Dr. Bob Jones III, and I took a group of guys from our church to take supplies to Myanmar last year. And we were dropping off supplies, getting ready for the conference, and Bob Jones III actually happened to be there. He was speaking at a conference in Myanmar, and so our paths crossed, and we were able to have breakfast together, and we were able to get caught up, and we were able to talk about a lot of things. And along the way, Dr. Bob III made a couple of interesting comments to the guys that were there. A couple of guys that are here this morning were with me, and they probably wondered, who is this guy that we're having breakfast with? When I was in Bible college, he was the president of Bob Jones University, and that was a time when there were a lot of preacher boys, as we were called, and and young men who were training to go into the ministry. And this was back in the early 80s, and the school was sound and sending out missionaries and pastors and preachers to go. Dr. Bob III said that in that breakfast, he says, sadly, all of those bright, shining superstars that people thought were going to be doing amazingly great things in 1987 when I graduated from Bible college, that they're nowhere to be found today. A lot of people rely on their own talents and abilities. I remember when I was at Bob Jones University, I worked 40 hours a week to help put myself through college. Literally, some of you think I may say it to be funny. I'm not trying to be funny. Literally, I had to take what they call bonehead English at Bob Jones University. That means I failed the English entrance exam, and I had to be put into a special class for dummies at, well, they didn't call it that, but that's what we all felt, to learn English. And I had to learn English. I had to learn the English grammar language. I had to learn how to speak correctly. Here's what I'm saying is that when I went to Bob Jones University, literally, who's Brent Armstrong? I was nobody but a boy from the hills of West Virginia that didn't know how to dress right. I wore white socks with a blue suit. I didn't know how to tie a tie correctly. I didn't have all the proper etiquette. They made us sit down for dinner, and your fork and your knife and your napkin and everything had to be in a certain way, and you had to wear a suit coat for dinner 7 days a week. It was ridiculous, the rules that we had at college. At least that's what I thought. But all along, they were teaching culture, and they were teaching us how to do things right. But you know what? I can tell you this. In 4.5 years, see, I was so smart, it took 4.5 years to go through college. In 4.5 years, I can tell you there's not a single one of those Bible professors that said, Brent Armstrong is still going to be in ministry in 2020. But they would have said there's a whole bunch of people who would have been in ministry because they had all of these gifts and they had all of these natural talents and abilities. Would you listen to me? You're seated there. You say, God can never use me. I'm a nobody. I literally was a nobody in college. I wasn't an officer. Nobody even knew who my name was. All I did was work 40 hours a week, go to class, 40 hours a week, go to class, sleep a little bit, do papers. It was a hard 4+ years of Bible college. I was an absolute nobody. In fact, I could walk down the campus and I can absolutely assure you that nobody even knew who my name was. And that could be you. I'm a nobody. The Lord can't use me. Might I just tell you, we need some Aquila and Priscillas that'll take the Brent Armstrongs of the world and take you and say, God can use you. And God can do amazing things. And God could take all of these people we've just listed, and he did amazing things. Number three, notice this is in bold. Our church needs to be a place of empowerment for all people. Our church. Think of all the people in this church that can empower the kingdom. Our children need to be empowered. Only God knows what great things that they will do if they have a little encouragement along the way. Every adult here ought to take time to talk to our kids, to make our children feel important. I love it when they run up and they want to give me a hug. They want to shake my hand. They want to give me an elbow bump. They want to give me a fist bump. That's never a bother. But I know that sometimes we view children as a nuisance. God help us. Our children are our future. Our youth need to be empowered. Soon they'll be moving into positions of leadership, and we will hand them the torch. And our single adults need to be empowered, and they're making decisions right now that's going to affect them, impact them for the rest of their lives, and where they go to college, and who they married, what profession, and they're making critical decisions right now. I'm saying we should pray for our single adults. Our young families need to be empowered. They need to learn how to establish a Christian environment in their homes. And our young ministers need to be empowered. They need encouragement to use their gifts to their fullest ability. And our middle-aged members, they need to be empowered. They need to see the glass of their lives as half full. It's not half empty. Our seniors need to be empowered. They need to realize that they can still have the best years of their life in God's service. May I ask you respectfully, and if you don't want to admit it, that's fine. But if you're age 70 or older, would you, if you're physically able, would you be able to stand for just a moment? If you're 70 or older, if you'd be able to stand for just a moment. And please stay standing if you can. Would you listen to me? Abraham was 75. And look what God did with his life. 75. You can make a difference in this church. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for not quitting. Let's thank this group of our church this morning. May I say, our missionaries need to be empowered. Think about the great responsibility we have as a church to prayerfully and financially support those who are willing to leave family, to sojourn in a foreign country with different people and different cultures and raise their children in a different culture. Our missionaries need to be empowered. And that's what this Missions Emphasis Month is all about, is that we as a church, we come alongside. And when many churches are still not even open, when many churches, they have declining attendance, when many churches, there's a declining income of church, we've got to stay strong and we've got to support our missionaries. Oh, we have people who've been divorced, and we have people that come off drugs and alcohol, and we have people who have been abused, and we have people who are hurting from 1,000 different wounds that are unspeakable. And each of these precious people, they need someone to come alongside and empower them. I'm here to say that we have a responsibility to be an Aquila and a Priscilla. So let me give you 4 steps and we're finished. 4 steps. How do we take this morning's message of Aquila and Priscilla and what they did with Apollos, and how do we apply this to our life? First of all, we need to ask God to lead you to someone who needs encouragement. Ask God, literally, Lord, would you lead me to someone who needs encouragement or empowerment from me? Yes, you. I'm willing to be an Aquila. I'm willing to be a Priscilla. Lord, please lead me to someone. And as we've said, there are people all around us. Just as God sent Apollos into the lives of Aquila and Priscilla, God has someone waiting for you to help. Number 2, look for hidden potential around you. Look for the hidden potential in people that are all around you. Wow. You can really sing. Oh, no, I can't really sing. You need to talk to Pastor Jason and get in that choir, because you've been standing next to someone out there that's not in the choir. You see someone that loves children. Do you realize we have a nursery ministry? You would be great in the nursery. You hear someone that just loves to talk. Do you know that we have a ministry where you can tell other people about the Lord? You seem like you have a natural gift at that. You can work with your hands. Do you realize there's things that you can do for the Lord? Wow, you have such great knowledge of the Word of God. You need to be a discipler in our ministry. There are some young people, some new Christians that you could help disciple. You need to be looking for the hidden potential. Priscilla and Aquila didn't reject Apollos. You know what they did? They received him. They saw in him a potential for greatness. Don't just see people for what they are today. See them for what they could be tomorrow and next week, and a little love and a little encouragement. Where could someone go? You could be responsible for that. Thirdly, take the time to get involved. Pastor, you're always asking us to get involved. Father in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. Thank you that he got involved in the details of my life. Thank you that he forgave me my sins. So what's a little bit of time to invest in someone when Jesus gave everything? I think it's our thinking is skewed. Take a little time to get involved. When Aquila and Priscilla met Apollos, the Bible says they took him aside. They spent time with him. We live in such a fast pace because we fill our lives with things that really don't matter. We found a lot of things through this virus that really don't matter as much as we thought they did. But here's something that always matters: people. people in our church. And if each of us took just some of the time we spend entertaining ourselves and invested in the lives of other people, there's no limit to what God could do in this church. And finally, we need to enlist the help of others. We need to enlist the help of others. Priscilla and Aquila, they involved their whole church in the work of encouraging Apollos. And whether the person you choose to empower is young or old, ask some brothers and sisters to come alongside. Pray for that person. Speak words of encouragement. Let's find the people. Let's find the hidden treasures in our church. Let's develop those people. I have a pastor friend who tells the story called Little Billy. It's about a poor, illegitimate boy who was befriended by a Christian man and led this poor, illegitimate boy to the Lord. And in the end, after telling this whole story, this pastor friend says, Little Billy is now standing behind the pulpit. There's a lot of people that we instantly discount them because of how they look, because they talk like they're from West Virginia, because they don't have the same abilities and class and stature that we have, when if we would be willing to get involved in their lives, we might be able to see a dramatic difference. Remember, the greatest empowerment is to lead someone to Christ. Who have you talked to about Christ? Who have you empowered when it comes to your relationship with Christ? Oh, your notes are finished. You can close that up. Close your Bibles, and I'm almost finished, and I just ask you to listen to this closing as we get ready to go. In Acts chapter 18, we mined out of just a couple verses, an entire message from the life of Aquila and Priscilla. And here's what I don't want you to miss. You can be an Aquila or a Priscilla. That is that there's someone that you can take under your wings and you can develop. You say, I'm too old. Tell that to Abraham. You say, I don't have talents and abilities. Tell that to Aquila and Priscilla. They were tent makers. The Bible doesn't say they ever went to the school of philosophy in Alexandria, Egypt. The Bible doesn't tell us that they ever read one of those 700,000 scrolls in the library in Alexandria. In fact, the Bible just says that it had been the Apostle Paul who had taken Aquila and Priscilla under his wings and discipled them, and now they were doing it to another young man. No one has an excuse. We all can encourage someone else. Every one of us can encourage someone else. Let's all stand together. As you're standing, I want you to think about this morning's message. And as you're looking up here, I want you to think about the opportunities that are before us. May I just establish something that we already know? But let me establish it. Would you listen to this? Right now, our world is in the worst chaos of our lifetime. Worst. It's undeniable. I mean, we're in an election year, we're in a virus pandemic, our inflation, our costs, people's out of work, people, their incomes are down, other people are doing very well financially. There's everything across the board. Church attendance is down, churches are still not open, some states' churches are being fined. We are living in a mess. Would we all agree? I don't think there's a single person that could disagree with that. When you die, please listen. When you die, will you leave behind an Apollos? When you die, will you leave behind an Apollos? That means that you have seen the hidden potential in someone. You have helped develop someone. You have encouraged someone. You have empowered someone. You haven't just summarily written off someone. You said, there is potential here. I'm going to encourage them. Father, I ask that you'll help us to consider that if we don't do this in our church, there'll be no supportive missionaries because our church would die. So, Father, I'm asking this morning that you would help us as a church to be Aquila and Priscilla's, training and teaching and helping that next generation. That we would be known as encouragers who empower others who have hidden potential. Father, I want to thank you this morning for this opportunity to share your word. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. My invitation this morning is different, all right? Here's my invitation this morning. It's twofold. I want to pray and I want to ask the Lord to help me to be an Aquila or Priscilla. You can do that down front in just a moment when Jason begins to sing. That's part one. Part two, is there someone in this congregation who actually has encouraged you? I want you to go give them an elbow bump. Right in the middle of the invitation while Pastor Jason is singing, I want you to single them out, go give them an elbow bump. No shaking hands, no hugs. I want you to give them an elbow bump and say, I want to thank you for empowering, for encouraging. And then return or go to someone else. I want us to spend a few moments thanking others who have done it and let them see that they have made a difference in your life. And then it may be that you need to be the one who empowers, encourages, and God stirred this up in your heart. Would you pray at the altar? Would you go give someone an elbow bump and say, hey, listen, I just want to say thank you. That's all the elbow bump, all that means is thank you for empowering. Thank you for encouraging. If you would do that, I believe that we're going to all leave pretty encouraged this morning. So let's take a few moments as Pastor Jason sings, and let's make a difference in the lives of people today.
Weary and troubled, no light in the darkness.
Amen. What a beautiful sight. Those who are watching my live stream, I wish you could see so many people. I want to be an Aquila. I want to be a Priscilla. I want to make a difference in someone's life. Encouraging it is to see. But there were some, no elbow bump. You be the encourager. You go empower someone. You be the Aquila and Priscilla. Our whole church needs to do this. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Several already pray. Would this be an opportunity for you to, before the Lord, just commit to the Lord? I want to be the Aquila Priscilla. And the byproduct of this is that I empower so many people in our church, including our missionaries. As he sings this next song, would you spend some time talking to the Lord?
His word shall not fail you. He promised. Believe him and
let's all sing it together.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the
everyone looking this way. Wow, it's been great to be in God's house today. I am so encouraged. You know what's neat as a pastor is that when you know that you're preaching what the Lord wants you to preach, and you have no doubt, that the Lord clearly directed. And obviously, in so many years of ministry, there's Sundays that you preach and you say, did anyone even understand? Did anyone get it? And then there's times when you absolutely know what the Lord has instructed you to do, and you see the Lord encourage so many people. There are several folks who are visiting, and you visit week after week. Next Sunday, the first Sunday of November, November 1st, I want to invite you to a starting point class. That is at 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning. We'll meet in my office. It doesn't mean you're joining the church, but you're checking out, how do I join the church? What does the church believe? How does it operate? And it's two Sundays. It'll be the first two Sundays of November. And so some of you have been visiting for a long time. It's time to take that step of faith, okay? And check out our church and see if this would be a church that you would like to be a part of. Now listen, thank you so much for being here. At 5 o'clock, we have service right here today. And then we have growth group classes, and we have dinner on the grounds at 6. I want to invite all of you back for that. It's going to be a spectacular night as our Spanish church is feeding us tonight, and we're going to benefit from that expertise of people who now know how to cook tacos. And so we'll enjoy that together. Thank you, young people, for singing and encouraging us today. I'm going to ask Pastor and Mrs. Howard if they would go back to the north door, and on the way out, if you have any special need, you're visiting with us, you want to know more about our church, more about salvation, more about, hey, listen, I need some information on this, please ask Pastor Howard. I'll be down front. I will also be available to help you if you need any help. Thank you so much for being here. How many of you, you're thankful you're in church today? Amen. You're dismissed. Have a great day. See you back at 5 o'clock this afternoon.